chapter 8, to read very familiar verses, ones that we've preached from many times, verses 40 through verse 48. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. The reason, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched or stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came, trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Our text opens, verse 40. Jesus has returned to Capernaum to a waiting and eager crowd of people. In that crowd was a ruler of the synagogue. His name, Jairus. His 12-year-old daughter was terribly sick. In fact, she was dying. This man, Jairus, all the people are around, falls down at the feet of Jesus. And he begs Jesus to come to his house and heal his daughter before she die. Looking at Jairus, you can feel, see an agony, an anxiety, and an earnestness about him. Jesus began to make his way to the house of Jairus. He still makes house calls. Jesus. As Jesus and the multitude walk along toward the house of Jairus, Jesus is pressed on every side by the people. In my own mind, I picture Jairus, a little ahead of Jesus, walking with eagerness. And as the news spread that Jesus was going to perform a miracle, the crowd grew rapidly and continued to grow. We have a picture here of a very large crowd packed into a very narrow street, because all the streets then were narrow. As they moved along toward the house of Jairus, we read in verse 43, and a woman. And suddenly, the procession stops, comes to a standstill. The reason is because Jesus stopped. He said in verse 45, "Who touched me?" Peter and they that were with him, the other apostles, said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And in verse 46, Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me." And we've preached on that before. And then a woman, this woman, is seen moving around from behind Jesus Christ until she knelt in front of him. Verse 47 says, "She came trembling and falling down before him." And there before Jesus Christ, she told him in the hearing of the multitude, verse 47, for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And then Jesus looks into her eyes, verse 48, and says unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." That's a beautiful, beautiful account. What we read here ought to fill us with hope, encouragement, and praise. In this message, we want to view this woman. She's poor. She's weak. She's dying. And she reached out and touched the border of his garment. And her life was instantly, completely, and permanently transformed. We want to view this as a picture of the saving of a soul. There are many, many applications, but we want to view it as a picture of the salvation of a soul. We read in verse 44 that she touched the border of his garment. Matthew, in his account, chapter 9 and verse 20, refers to it as the hem of his garment. And Jesus states that she touched this border or hem of his garment with faith. Subject of the message is faith to touch the hem of his garment. And if you are here and unsaved today, this is what needs to happen in your life. You need faith to touch the hem of his garment. First of all, consider the condition of this woman. Throughout the Gospels, we have the record of Jesus on several occasions healing the blind, the deaf, the crippled, the lepers, the demon-possessed, and even raising the dead. Each of these conditions paint a picture of fallen man. They paint a picture of fallen man as disabled, as powerless to save themselves. They paint a picture of man as broken down, wrecked, and helpless. All because of sin. But as terrible and as serious and as desperate the physical condition of those whom Jesus healed, that's only a picture. The condition For there is no greater disease. There is no greater plague with more painful, with more dire consequences than the disease and plague of sin in the soul. The Bible plainly declares, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Regardless of your thoughts about the matter, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Regardless of your genealogy, regardless of your upbringing, regardless of your religion, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is nothing more dreadful. There is nothing more tragic. There is nothing more dismal, more horrific than for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every human being since Adam and Eve enters this life diseased and plagued with sin. And as pitiful a sight as this woman in our text, and as awful and desperate her situation, if you are here today and unsaved, your situation is far worse, far more serious, far more desperate and urgent. As great a crisis as this woman, there is no greater crisis than an unsaved sinner. And as distressing and heartrending as it is to look upon this woman, there's nothing more distressing and heartrending than an unsaved sinner moving in the direction of eternity, getting closer by the moment, getting worse and worse. Unsaved sinners aren't getting better. They're getting worse. And they move closer and closer to the moment when they leave this life. The unsaved sinner. Again, your condition is far worse than that of this woman. For you are estranged from God. Without God and without Christ. That is a pitiful sight. Without God. Without Christ. Living your life under the dominion of Satan. Living in the realm of the power of darkness and helplessly trapped under the weight of sin. That's the unsaved sinner. Securely held by the chains and shackles of sin. Stuck in the condemnation, in the contamination and the foulness of sin. Sinking deeper and deeper into the destruction and the loss and the misery of sin. Living their lives deceived. Every unsaved sinner is deceived. You are deceived in thinking that you have all the time in the world. You're deceived. You're deceived in somehow thinking that somehow it'll work out. The unsaved sinner is blind to their condition. They are hardened. And the unsaved sinner
I'm convinced of this, that sits in a church service every Sunday, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. You have to harden yourself. You couldn't get through it otherwise. The unsaved sinner hardens themselves. They are at enmity with God. Criminals against God. They reject and they resist God. As an unsaved sinner, you might say, well, I don't do that. But if you attend here every service, you do that. Every single service. You walk out of this building unsaved, you've rejected God. Every Sunday. Every day of the week. The unsaved sinner is unrighteous. They're ungodly. They're spiritually bankrupt. They're spiritually lost. And in spite of all the remedies of man, they're nothing bettered. But they get worse and worse by the day. As an unsaved sinner, you are thoroughly, 100% guilty before God. Under the condemnation of God, and you have no merit to plead on your behalf. And whether you want to think about it or not, you are headed for eternity without Christ. There isn't anything more pitiful. There isn't anything more dreadful. Headed in the direction of eternity without Christ. You see, for the unsaved sinner, the situation, humanly speaking, grows worse and worse, more desperate by the day, because you're getting closer and closer and closer to eternity. Again, this woman, she is diseased, she is plagued. She is alienated. She's anemic. She's weary. She's worn. She's suffering. She's dying. Unsaved sinner, you're dying. You're dying. You may not be physically sick, but you are dying. You are dying. And you are bankrupt. Just like her. And her situation is growing worse and worse by the day. And so it is with the unsaved sinner. Now notice this woman. Mark tells us in chapter 5 and verse 27 that while she was in this terrible and desperate condition, she heard of Jesus. She heard of Jesus. No doubt she had heard what he had done in Capernaum. For those that are here and unsaved today, you have heard numerous times of Jesus. And every time you've had to do something with what you've heard. May I suggest you've hardened your heart to what you've heard. You have heard, and you probably give mental assent that this one named Jesus is God's provision, God's remedy, God's sacrifice,
for sinners.
And you have heard and you give mental assent to the fact that He came into the world to save sinners. And you have heard that this one named Jesus, He saves. He saves those who have rebelled against God. He saves those who have transgressed the very laws of God and who are covered with the filthiness and the vileness and the corruption of sin. You have heard that He saves those who are enslaved and imprisoned. He saves those who are alienated from God. He saves those who have nothing to offer. The unsaved sinner that sits here today, you've heard those things. And more than likely, you agree with them. You give mental assent to it. You wouldn't argue with it. You have heard of and probably give mental assent to a Savior named Jesus. You have heard, and perhaps you've even seen, that He has saved others. You have heard how this one named Jesus can break the awful control and the chains and the shackles of sin. You have heard how He has fetched and lifted and rescued filthy sinners from the hole of sin. You have heard how that this one named Jesus has brought people from the depths of guilt and condemnation, out of the depths of darkness and defilement and bankruptcy and helplessness. So you have this woman. She's a pitiful sight. She's withering away. She's dying. She's getting worse by the day. And she heard of Jesus. She also believed. She heard of Jesus. And she believed that He could do for her. In Mark's account in chapter 5 and verse 28, what she believed was this: If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. That's what she believed. It's not enough just to hear of Him. She heard of Jesus. And you have heard. But the story didn't end there with her. I hope it doesn't end there with you if you're unsaved. Because today, you are hearing of Jesus. But it may end right there. And if it does, you will spend eternity separated from God in hell. She heard of Jesus. But it doesn't end there. In hearing of Jesus, did she not gather some information about Him? Everyone here has heard of Jesus. Time and time again. And in your hearing, you have gathered some information about Him. You have information that someone else that's never heard does not have. But every lost sinner sitting here today, you have information about Him. But that's not enough. She heard. She received information. But it doesn't end there. And again, we hope it doesn't end there for you. Because you can hear and you can have all this information that He is the Savior of sinners and yet still die and go to hell. What a pitiful situation. But she didn't just hear. And she didn't just gather information. But she believed. If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. She believed. Unsaved sinner, you have heard about Jesus. You have gathered information about Jesus. But do you believe that He can save you? Do you believe that He can save you? Now notice, this woman came. She came to Jesus. She's very much aware of her condition. She could feel the terribleness, the desperateness of her condition. And again, unsaved sinner, are you aware of your condition? Do you feel your sinful condition before a pure and holy God? Before a righteous God? Are you aware of your condition before God? Are you aware today of where you are headed? Are you aware today of how close you might be to eternity? This woman knew that the physicians of men could not give her what she so desperately needed. She'd already spent everything she had upon them. So by this time she knows that the physicians cannot help her. Unsaved sinner, do you know today that the religious physicians of men cannot help you? Are you aware today that your good works cannot help you? That prayers cannot help you? That baptism will not help? Church membership will not help? Family upbringing will not help? None of these can give you what you need. This woman believed that. She knew that. Unsaved sinner, you need to believe the same thing. You need to know the same thing. She knew at this point that Jesus was her only hope. Do you know that today? Do you know that Jesus is your only hope and that nothing else will do? Nothing else will spare you from an eternity in hell? Do you believe that today? Do you know that today? This woman, knowing her condition, knowing that the physicians could not help her, knowing that she's broke, she has nothing to offer on her behalf, and she feels an urgent sense of need. Every unsaved sinner must come to this point where there is an urgent sense of need. And she believed. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Believing this, what did she do? She came. How do you know if your belief is saving belief? You will come. You will come. Can't be saved without coming. So believing this, she came. How did she come? Did she try to clean herself up before she came? No, she came weary, worn, broken, dying, bankrupt. She came. It was faith. It was what she believed that drove her to Jesus. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So again, I must ask the unsaved sinner, are you aware of? Do you feel your sinful condition before God? Do you realize that you have nothing to offer God on your behalf? Do you believe that He is what you need and that He has what you need? What you need is a belief that will cause you to come to Jesus Christ. Anything short of that will not do. It will not do. Oh, that God would give you a faith that would cause you to come to Christ, the one and only Savior of sinners like yourself. Notice, verse 44, that when she came, she touched the border of his garment. What she believed caused her not to be content just being in a crowd around Jesus. You have that right here. You're in a crowd around Jesus, but that won't save you. She was not content with being on the same street with Jesus or near to the place where he was. Her faith moved her hand to touch, to grasp the border, the hem of his garment. And as she reached forth, she did so with a deep sense of unworthiness. Faith moved her hand to touch the border of his garment. Matthew 9, verse 20 calls it the hem of his garment. I believe this is very significant. The hem of his garment. And I believe it explains saving faith. Notice in Mark, and time's getting away, Mark chapter 6, verse 56. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they, the sick, might touch if it were but the border, the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Touching the hem of his garment was the same as touching him. We read here in Mark 6, verse 56. We also see that in our text. That touching the hem of his garment was the same as touching him. Again, unsaved sinner, realizing your condition and need, do you have a faith that will cause you to come and lay hold of the hem of his garment? What is the hem? What is the hem? It's the finished work. If you sew, I think the hem is the last thing you put in. It's the finished product. It's the finished work. And I believe there's a lesson here. This is what you need to trust. This is what you need to grab hold of. The person and the finished work of Jesus Christ. That is your only hope. There is no other hope. She grabbed, she touched, she grasped the hem of his garment. And virtue went out of him. Power went out of him. The blood flow was stopped. What went out of him stopped what was going out of her. And it was immediate. If you can believe with a faith that will cause you to come and lay hold of the person and work of Jesus Christ and nothing else, out of him will flow unto you the righteousness and the cleansing and the forgiveness and the reconciliation and the pardon and the acceptance with God that you so desperately need. This woman received a miracle that day. Faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Do not mistake attending church regularly for being saved. Don't make that mistake. Do not mistake being active in a church for being saved. Do not mistake being raised in a Christian home as the same as being saved. Don't mistake incorporating biblical principles into your life for being saved. Don't mistake enjoying listening to preaching and hymns for being saved. Don't mistake reading Christian literature for being saved. Don't mistake being moral as far as the world is concerned as being saved. But can you go back to a time and a place when you heard of Jesus in a way that you never did before, and you began to realize and you began to feel your vile and deplorable condition before God, and you realized, I have nothing. I have nothing to offer to the Lord. but you believed that Jesus was the only remedy. And you came and you laid hold. And you're still holding to it today. The person and work of Christ. And if that happened, you were gloriously saved from the whole of sin. That was a glorious day. That's a day that you cannot forget. Some of you came into this building this morning unsaved. You walked into the house of God unsaved. And you sit here now unsaved. And you've been doing that for a long time. Some longer than 12 years. Been doing it a long time. And your appointed time upon this earth is fleeting. It's fleeting. Eternity is getting closer. And your next breath could be your last. And you may sit here today thinking, Brother Dan, I've been hearing that all my life. Maybe you have. But it's still true. Your next breath could be your last. Death may lurk around the next corner. And you're unsaved. Your very life. This is how desperate the situation is. This is how dire the situation is. Your very life may be hanging by a thread over the pit of hell at this very moment. Be sure of this. Your situation is desperate. And be sure of this. Your only hope is in the person and work of Christ. And every one of us today will go from here either trusting in the physicians of men, good works, prayers, baptism, etc. And if you go from here that way, you'll grow worse and worse, and you get closer and closer to eternity. Or we will go from here today, laying hold of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That's all I have. That's my only hope. I place my eternity upon it. The person of Jesus Christ and His work, as He lived a perfect life of righteousness and went to the cross and rose from the dead. We go from here today, you and I that are saved. We lay hold of that. I don't lay hold of anything in me. I don't lay hold of anything in my family tree. I lay hold of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And if you're here and unsaved, you need to believe in such a way that will cause you to come. And when I say come, I'm not talking about up here. I'm talking about coming to Jesus. Though if you come to Him, you'll want to come up here. You come to Jesus and you lay hold. You just lay hold of who He is. And you lay hold of what He's done in our behalf. That is where salvation that you so desperately need is found. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. I ask you today, are you saved? Do you know? Do you know that you're saved?
159.